This is Going Public on KRCU, and I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. Our world is filled with endless curiosities that can't always be explained, but they can be explored. Artists nationwide explore their curiosities from science fiction, fantasy, and the surreal in the Flights of Fantasy exhibit at the Arts Council of Southeast Missouri. Sarah Moore, director of the Arts Council of Southeast Missouri, joined me in the studio to talk about this and what people can look forward to from the art community.
We do 2 months for this special exhibit because it's on a national scale level. We have had over 15 states be a part of this exhibit. People applied for it to show their work, artists did, and we had over 160 entries from these artists that were able to apply and get their work juried and if they were able to be part of our national show. We have a little about over 40 artworks. Various mediums. I love this because we have two-dimensional, so like you're painting, you're drawing. We have sculptures. Oh my God, we have this amazing sculpture. I love it. It's right in the middle of our gallery, and it's just really insane. And it was a little difficult putting it in through the door, but we managed. And we have ceramics. We have stuff that's made out of felt, which is just really fun to look at and maybe poke a little. Not really, but it's amazing. One of our best artworks that we have that I love, it was voted best in show, was by Ariel Bauman. She's a ceramicist, and it was called The Explorer. So it's made of ceramic and mixed media. And I encourage you to come in and just kind of look at this because it's just like a bear sitting on top of an elephant made entirely out of ceramic, and kind of its two front feet, the bear's or the elephant's two front feet, are balancing on these four ceramic crates. And the only thing holding it together is just balance. Like, it's not bolted down or anything, so it's kind of scary, but it's just, it's really amazing to just see. And I think one of our biggest questions is why we chose the theme Flights of Fantasy for our National Juried Show. And I think it's just a way to encourage people that visit, to encourage the artist to explore their own curiosities. Like, when people think of Flights of Fantasy, we kind of made it kind of broad, but we just think we have our natural sense of curiosity is drawn to the strange, the unfamiliar and fantastic, the unexplainable and imagined has long been embraced in our society and our cultures, especially in all our art, through subtle or obvious means. And it can be like either traditional or off the wall imagery. And I think that gets people kind of excited. So definitely you guys should all come and see our Flights of Fantasy show at our 16 North Spanish Street.
Well, we were talking about the Flights of Fantasy, and it's been going on since June 2nd, and it's going to be wrapping up July 29th.
Yes, correct.
What other unique pieces were there in the gallery that, you know, you want people to see that they're like, huh, this is interesting?
Well, I think one of the main pieces, definitely, like I said, see the best of show that had the ceramic bear balancing on elephant, but on crates. We also had a second and third place. One was a photographer, and she just has a beautiful portrait of herself, and it has like vines and kind of a cloudy background that was just really, really amazing. We got a lot of great comments on that piece. The other one is probably by Dave Carter, the Amber Wing Dragonfly. He got the third place from our juried art show, and it's just like a close-up of the dragonfly. But what makes it amazing is because he was able to capture all these colors from the dragonfly that he just took a picture of, and was just to emphasize the texture of the dragonfly, the wings, the head, the eyes, its legs are kind of wrapped around really neatly on this like branch. It's just really, really great. I think when people think of fantasy, they probably think of fairies or dragons. And we have a few of those, but they're really great. This one, it's like a woman in kind of like a tough combat suit and like a great dragon behind her. And it's kind of like, kind of this like gothic type feel, but it's great because it kind of has this comic book character type style to it. So that was one of my favorites as well. Gosh, we just have so many. The other one I think people are just really impressed by, again, is the sculpture that we have in there. It's kind of wrapped around steel bars, and it's like this this person, this abstract person sitting on a house. And it's tall. It's probably over 12 feet tall. So it was mainly meant for the outside, but he entered in his artwork and we were able to get it into the building. So that would be another one that I'm absolutely in love with. But I mean, we have photographs, paintings, we have each and every media with this one, and it's just fabulous. And I encourage everyone to kind of attend and embrace the Flights of Fantasy show. I think everybody has a little art in their heart, so they should come and visit.
Now, are there any like new artists in the community that are starting to stand out that have come through recently?
I know we've got a lot of interest with new artists based on the fact they come in and they want to learn more about our shows or how to. I'm a new and upcoming artist. How can I show my artwork? I think one that comes to mind is maybe Mary Robbins. She does a lot of great works. Randy Simmons, like I said, is the huge pencil artist, graphic artist that makes portraits of people. And he gets that detail that you don't want to be shown, that little wrinkle, the hair follicle or something. But I mean, it's just so personal. I feel like that he's able to capture the look on your face on his models. It's just very intimate and personal, and I think it provides like the inside of somebody's soul just to be able to draw them in such detail. I don't know if you want him to be that intimate with you, but it's just pretty amazing, and I think it would even be great to even watch him do the process, get that detail. And the drawing is huge, so I'm sure it takes him hours or quite a bit of time, a commitment to do something like this.
And that's definitely one of the artists to look out for.
Yes. Randy Simmons, I think Mary Robbins, Dave Carter, Laura Schumper, definitely the people who won awards. Ariel Bauman, she's the one that did the ceramics for the circus bear, the circus elephant, all balancing on these dangerous trunks with its two front feet.
Obviously, we are coming into July. What other exciting things are happening this month within the art community here in Southeast?
Well, after July, we'll definitely be getting started with the Tunes of Twilight. I think everybody know and what that is for the fall series. The other thing that is happening is currently we just hung up an exhibit called Art for the Health of It, and that's at the Southeast Hospital. We just got done with that, and the whole mission of hanging up art in the hospital is just to add a calming sense to those who need it, who are in distress, who aren't feeling well. Instead of seeing all the blank walls, they have this beautiful wall full of color, full of art, just something to kind of take their mind off, just to bring a calming sense to the environment of a hospital where people can be, again, distressed, just not feeling well. And this kind of uplifts them, gives them a little boost, a sense of wonder for them to take their mind off where they are right now.
Any type of exciting things happening for this total solar eclipse that you can talk about right now, or are you just still trying to work out things for it?
I think we're still trying to work out things for it. I don't know if we'll do anything special. I know several communities are trying to get like a chalk festival up. I think some people are even trying to do like experiments of like capturing the eclipse on a video. I know the surrounding states are just really getting prepping for this, just really getting ready for the mass amounts of people that are going to come here where we have, you know, the greatest totality for the eclipse. But currently, I haven't heard anything recently concerning the art community getting ready for it. If anything, I think the art community would just do something kind of like a plein air painting where they just kind of set up shop during the time and they quickly paint what they see. But other than that, we don't have anything prepared yet. It's something that we're going to be talking about probably soon, since it's coming up in August. Yeah, so be on the lookout. I'm sure the Arts Council may do something special.
I guess the next question would be, what is the current stage of the murals on the flood wall?
Okay, so Craig Thomas, who is a local artist here, he's been part of the Visual Arts Cooperative for years, and we love Craig at the Arts Council. He is just extremely helpful, just a great resource for artists in the community. So if you guys have any questions, I would definitely contact Craig. He's your guy. But he is the guy that was commissioned and chosen to do Journal McKee's portrait on the mural. So we're really excited about that. It's almost done. I walked it over this weekend. I encourage people to walk over while it's still in transitioning. I believe he just has the head and the top shoulders are done. I think he just has to finish the guy's uniform, the general's uniform. And it's just really exciting to see Craig work. He's used to working in large scales. He's done plein air paintings. He's done chalk paintings, chalk festivals. It's a really inspiration to see Craig work.
Now, how many more panels of the flood wall are going to be added to it in addition as far as whoever's going to be next? Are these going to be more faces of people from Missouri, Southeast Missouri?
It's kind of up in the air, I want to say. Some people just kind of would come up and be like, hey, this would be a great idea to put on the wall, or this person has been a great Southeast Missourian. He's from Cape, or she or whoever is from Cape. They should get on the wall. So I think what the proper placement is, you have to send it a proposal, and then the public art committee will be able to discuss that proposal and see if it's something that we can do, or figure out ways of how we can accomplish the next mural. But right now, I think it's just General McGee's that's next and about to be finished.
Well, that's all I have, unless you have anything else you would like to add to this.
No, I think I'm good. thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. That was Sarah Moore, Director for the Arts Council of Southeast Missouri. After the break, the individual health insurance market in rural Missouri is in trouble. We'll hear about those so-called Bear Counties. And later on, more from our community project, Dear Heartland.
I'm Ari Shapiro. If you find NPR reliable and comforting, you're not alone. If your old car is a bit less than reliable, well, you're not alone either. Donate your car to us and turn it into the programs you love.
Visit KRCU.org and click on support for all the details.
This is Going Public on KRCU, and I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. People in some Missouri counties may have no options to buy health insurance next year. That's because the exchanges set up by the Affordable Care Act are losing insurers, particularly in rural areas. St. Louis Public Radio's Wayne Pratt spoke with health reporter Deree Buscarin about these Bear Counties and the options the state has to intervene.
What is a Bear County and why should we care about it?
A Bear County is a place where no insurers are offering plans on the exchanges set up by the Affordable Care Act. This means that people who have individual plans that they bought that way will lose their coverage, and they won't be able to use federal subsidies to buy another plan, which could make it unaffordable for most people. Republicans say this is happening because Democrats wrote a bad law. Democrats say Republicans are deliberately sabotaging it for political gain. But in Missouri, these exchanges will be in for a rough ride next year, it appears, based on preliminary looks at the marketplace. We have some maps on our website if you're more of a visual than an audio person.
STLpublicradio.org.
Yes. And Blue Cross Blue Shield of Kansas City announced earlier this year that they're leaving. They were the only insurer for about 25 counties in western Missouri. These are often rural counties. That's kind of where we see insurers exiting first. Anthem also hasn't said if they'll stay. They did pull out of Ohio, but they haven't said yes or no for Missouri, and that would be about 75 counties where they're the last insurer. Centene, though, announced last week that they would enter the Missouri market, but not which counties. So that's kind of
up in the air at this point.
Yeah.
Even with Centene coming into at least some sections of Missouri, why are other providers pulling out of the exchanges?
Blue Cross Blue Shield of Kansas City said when they left that it cost too much to cover the people who were signing up and also uncertainty in the marketplace. The cost is an old story. We've heard this from other insurers leaving. Basically, it was really difficult for them to figure out how many people would sign up for their plans and how sick they would be, how much health care they would need. Fewer people signed up than they were expecting, and the people that did sign up tended to be sicker than they were expecting. When they say uncertainty, they're talking about two things. One, whether or not Republicans are going to come up with a replacement plan and what that'll look like, but also something that they call the Obamacare kill switch. Basically, the Obama administration was defending a lawsuit from the House of Representatives over the legality of something called cost-sharing subsidies. The Trump administration can drop its defense of this lawsuit at any time, and if that happens, the markets could disintegrate.
What options does the state have in all this?
So there are a few things that other states have done to keep insurers in their state. Most of that has to be an action or a bill passed by the state legislature. I asked Missouri's Department of Insurance what their plan was, and the spokesman wrote that they will continue to work with insurers in Missouri and legislators in Washington to do what they can to assist people. So in other words, if there is a plan, they're not telling us.
They might be trying to figure it out like we all are at this point.
That's what happened in Arizona, actually. They almost had a county last year without an insurer, and there was a lot of work behind the scenes.
In D.C., Republicans are working on legislation to repeal major parts of the Affordable Care Act. So how does that affect this issue specifically?
So the bill passed by the House restructures the subsidies a bit. They'd be less generous if you're low income, but you can use them to buy plans that aren't offered on the exchange. So if there's no exchange, you could still use them. Meanwhile, insurance companies are submitting their rates for 2018, so they are making financial decisions about coverage next year without knowing what's going to happen politically. And that could mean higher rates if companies feel like they're really taking a risk by staying in the individual market.
That was St. Louis Public Radio's Wayne Pratt and Dury Buscarin. If you've been tuning in, we've been sharing your stories about life in Southeast Missouri from our new community project, Dear Heartland. Today's injury comes from Kate Howard and her dad, Gary. When they're together, they're like a well-seasoned comedy duo that feeds off of each other's energy. But behind the laughs and jokes is a bond that got stronger with an unexpected change.
Dear Heartland, my dad means a lot to me. He's always been there for me, and he's always been my rock. And he just reminds me of, like, everyone in one person, because he has so many special qualities to me that it's just unexplainable. Just seeing how hard he works, he's definitely inspired me to be who I am today. And I just want to tell him that I love him a lot because, again, he is the reason why I'm here, and he is definitely my inspiration.
Well, thanks, Kate.
What was the happiest moment of your life?
Well, that's a loaded question there. I would have to say that the first happiest moment, of course, is when you were born.
Yeah.
And seeing you for the first time. And then, of course, too, is the day that I met Jamie.
Yeah.
It was several years ago. 4 or 5. It was just one of those. It was through mutual friends, exchanged phone numbers, and it seemed like the first time that we ever talked on the phone. It was over an hour, and it was like we've known each other forever. And it was just one of those that it kind of blossomed into something that, we're now married and just continues to get better every day and puts a smile on my face and smiling from ear to ear.
Mm-hmm.
So, and usually she and Katie like to gang up on me.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So it seems like I'm definitely outnumbered.
Yeah. I know the first time I met Jamie was at a school that she works at. And I was like, oh, hi, I'm Kate. And I was, like, so nervous. Mm-hmm. And I actually went off with Ricky, mm-hmm. who is one of Jamie's friend's daughter. Mm-hmm. And she's around my age. So it's really nice. So not just getting to know Jamie, but also getting to know more people in the community, I think was really big, including where she is, because I didn't even know that was a place mm-hmm. until Jamie. So, yeah, she definitely gets us, I think, because me and my dad are really alike,
mm-hmm.
and she enjoys our sense of humor.
She tolerates us.
Yeah, we might embarrass her sometimes when we're out in places doing stupid things, but...
Yeah, the first time that she ever went on vacation with us...
This is a great story.
We went to Florida, and I have no idea what got into Katie's mind, but we were at Target, and I'm sitting there looking down the aisle, and she steps back like a field goal kicker and kicks me right in the hamstrings and drops me like a pile of bricks. And I think it was just one of those that we were just goofing off, and she didn't realize how strong she had gotten. And Jamie just looking at us, just shaking her head, going, I feel like I've got two kids.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of our sense of humor. Kate's always been kind of a daddy's girl growing up,
yeah.
kind of in my shadow, and I've enjoyed every day of that.
Mm-hmm. It's given me a lot of strength, too, because being together as a family, you have to have certain things that's different from other families. And they've really taught me a lot in opening up more and having conversations, because it feels like everyone hates those conversations that are really tough. And you're like, oh my gosh, can you stop? But I think we've all learned to tolerate it. And at the end of the day, we've all learned to love ourselves and each other.
That was Kate Howard and her dad, Gary, sharing their story with KRCU's Dear Heartland. That's it for this week. You can find all these stories at krcu.org or on iTunes to hear this podcast. I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. Join me Friday nights at 6 and Sundays at 3 for KRCU's Going Public.